When we have
a
the outsiders.
Okay. So
the shows Ilu
Nishmas. Batya Bas Moshe Shmuel.
Batya Bas Moshe
Shmuel. And we're just trying to. The screen is not good. You don't see my head. It's not. You stand back when you're forward somebody. Please see Cam, sir. Okay. The imagery is better with my head visible, I hope. So tonight's year really has a dual theme. So number one, it's definitely still part of our series of sugyas that we've been learning in terms of parents' obligations to children, children's obligations to parents. So it's going to be a little bit of a throwback to some of the halachas of Pru'uvu that we spoke about earlier in the year. That in addition, it's also, I guess we can call it Nana Dioma. I'm always nervous to give a shiur on Lag BaOmer until I daven Ma'ariv, because I'm always afraid I'm going to say the words Lag BaOmer, I daven Ma'ariv already, so I already said tonight's Lag BaOmer. So the shiur is relevant to Inyanim, sugyas of Lag BaOmer as well. So we have to first give the first apology, because the first word of the Ma'ariv Komos is a typo. It's not Holochas Banim, it's rather Holodas Banim. It's having children and raising Tamidim at a later stage in life. So the sugya begins on the... Sukkah begins the first day of Ma'amar Kamos. It's really the Lag BaOmer Gemara, but it's actually the introduction to the Lag BaOmer Gemara. It's a Sugi Maseches Yevamos and Daf Samach Beis and Beis. The Sani, we learned in the Braisa. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Nasa Adam Isha BeYalduso. If a person got married when he was younger, Yisa Isha BeZeknuso. For whatever reason, he has to get married a second time. His wife is no longer alive. So he should get married a second time. He shouldn't take the attitude. He already fulfilled the mitzvah of getting married. He already fulfilled the mitzvah of having a family. You should get married a second time as well. Hayelo banim bialduso. What if a person had children when he was younger? Yulo banim zikinuso. So the same thing, that he shouldn't take the attitude that he had children and he was young to ready the mitzvah of having peruvu. He should try to have more children when he gets older as well. Shedemar. But boker ziraz arechav al-erval tanach yadecha. The pasuk in Keheles, that literally means that you should plant in the morning and then continue even in the evening. You don't know which is going to be the more successful of your plantings. And if they're both successful, how much greater is that? So here, obviously, the Pshuto Shemikra is referring to literally planting. Here, the Tosh Mapez is explaining to us that it's referring to other kind of plantings as well. It's talking about planting in terms of a family. So one should not take the attitude that I was Yates in the midst of Peruvu and the game is over. Rabbi Akiva Omer, in this context, similar context, Rabbi Akiva continues and says, Lama Torah b'yalduso, yuma Torah b'zikinuso. If a person learned Torah when he was young, so he should continue to learn Torah when he gets older as well. Hayilo tamidim b'yalduso. If he had students, he had tamidim when he was young. Yulo tamidim b'zikinuso. He should continue to have tamidim when he gets older. Shenama, the same possible brachas razerach of a gleimer. And it's now finally in this context of the original drasha concerning biological children. The second drasha concerning, and if we could just also, we can fix it, guys. It's still somewhat, it still gets you without the head on. Never mind, just appreciate to see that. Okay, all right. I think the folder. Let me just put a little stone. Okay. That's amazing. Okay. So again, in addition to the literal meaning in terms of planting, in addition to the first interpretation of having children, raising a family, so Rabbi Akiva adds on in terms of a person's own learning Torah and a person's teaching Torah as well, one should have Talmidim even later in life. And Amru, it was said about Rabbi Akiva, Shnei Masar Elav Zugim Talmidim Hayelo Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of Tavidim. Megevas had Antifros, these two cities in Eretz Yisrael. The Kula makes it a Perek Echad, and they all died at the same time. If Nation Lo Nagu covered Zeluzeh, because the famous Mamre Chazal, the background to Lag BaOmer, that the Tamidim were unfortunately passed away tragically, and Chazal attributed that onesh to the fact that they weren't respectful to one another. The world was desolate. Rabbi Akiva could have taken the attitude of, listen, I raised 12,000 pairs of Tamidim, time to retire. They didn't succeed. And the game is over. No. So Rabbi Akiva saw that the world was desolate and we needed more Torah, And he came to the Rabbanim in the south, the Shonalahem, and he taught them the new set of Tamidim. Who were the new group of Tamidim? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yasi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Loza ben Shemua, the five great Tanoim, who basically became the pillars of the Mishnah. The entire Toshua, everything that we learned, Hadayim Azeh, is pretty much thanks to these Tamidim. The Heim Heim Emidu Torah, and also Shah, they were the ones who brought Torah back to life. So it was all because of the courage of the foresight of Rabbi Akiva, who was able to go on, who followed this Ma'amar Chazal of Bokas Ra'as Arecha al Erba Tanach Yadecha. Tano, then the Gemara just makes the historical comment, Kula Mesim Pesach Yadatzeres, that all the Tamidim died at this period of time between Pesach and Shavuos, and it's on this Gemara that the Rishon quote, a tradition of the Gaonim, that is why the Jewish people have accepted different degrees of Avelos at this time. Again, different in Hagim as to exactly what's included in the Avelos and even different times within the Pesach and Shavuos season. But somewhere, somehow, tucked away in the period between Pesach and Shavuos is a demonstration of Avelos to commemorate the death, the tragedy of the Tamidei Rabbi Akiva. So this is very, very much in Yana the Yom of this Gemara. But we're going to focus more on the halachic side of this Gemara. What the Gemara is telling us is that a person is supposed to, Ha'ilo Banavi Adu, so a person is supposed to have more children later. And similarly, one who has Tamidim when one's younger is supposed to have more Tamidim when one gets older as well. So it's not surprising that Chazal saw this parallel between one's biological children and one's spiritual children, between one's Tamidim. This is something that we've spoken about in the past, that the Rambam, the second of the Ma'amar Chomos, makes this comparison very clear.
It seems that the Gemara's proof is on Rabbi Kiva, which was Shad HaTzah, and not to say that's not what it should be, but the proof is only because there was no choice. And usually you give a proof because it's something roots and something b'chuyah. Here it's because there would be no Torah if not for Rabbi Kiva. It's sort of like a...
Right. It's almost like, I'm not sure this is the raya to the din. I think the din stands, this halacha was to even before the days of Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara is just commenting that because Rabbi Akiva followed this halacha, so then the Meila, that tremendous Yeshua for Klal Yisrael. But I think you're right, that this halacha stands on its own 2 feet. So the Rambam in the second of the Ma'amar Chomos, beginning of the Stamat Torah, makes that very, very real equation between one's relationship to one's children, one's relationship to one's Tamidim, and therefore it's not at all surprising that one should continue to have both. The Rambam writes in Halacha Beis, the second of Ma'amar Chomos, Kishem Shechayv Odom Lulamid is Beno, Kachu Chayv Lamid is Ben Beno. A person is obligated to teach one's son Torah, that of course, the Pesukim and Chumash, Shnapel Vanecha. One is similar obligated to teach one's grandchildren. Shenemar Vodakum Vanecha Vivne Vanecha. That's an explicit Pesukim Chumash. But then the Rambam goes on, Velo Beno Ben Beno Bulvan. Not only is a person required to teach one's son Torah, not only is a person required to teach one's grandson Torah, Ela Mitzvah Al Kol Chacham V'Chacham Yisrael, Lelamed is called a Tamidim. A person is obligated to teach all Tamidim. Afa b'she'enem bonav, even though they're not biologically his children. Shenemah b'she'enem l'vanecha. What is the source for teaching Torah? What is the mokor in the Chumash for the mitzvah and the Rebbe to teach his Tamidim? Where does the bishteik in the Chumash have to teach his Tamidim? It doesn't say. It says b'she'enem l'vanecha. So the Rambam says, b'pi ha'shmua lomdu. Whenever the Rambam uses the phrase b'pi ha'shmua, it means we have a tradition all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the interpretation of the pasuk. That banecha inu tamidecha, that banecha does not only mean your biological children, also means your spiritual children, namely your tamidim. She tamidim kuyam banim, she never yetu b'nei hanavim. The Rambam makes reference to other psukim menach that describe to children and tamidim interchangeably. Im kein lamin it stava b'no v'ben b'no, lachtim b'no l'men b'no, ben b'no l'ben chaberes. So if so, that there's really a Torah obligation to teach Torah to everybody, so why does the Torah single out children? Why does the Torah speak about biological children? Why does the Torah speak about biological grandchildren? So Rambam tells us that there's a hierarchy, that first and foremost, they have to teach my own children. That's the number one chiyuv. After that, I have to make sure to teach my grandchildren. After that, then I have to teach everybody else's children as well. So there is an obligation, all three different groups, but the highest level, the top of the line, is one's own children. But again, since the Torah does express the mitzvah of teaching Torah to others and the mitzvah of one's own children, almost in the same breath, in the same word, so this is very much in sync with what the Gemara is telling us in the Sefer Yevamos, that when a person finishes having children, he never really finished. When a person finishes having tamidim, he never really finished as well. So let's go back for a moment to this halacha of what the poskim call the mitzvah of erev al tanach yodecha. So this mitzvah begins after the mitzvah of pruvu ends. At what point does the mitzvah of pruvu end? At what point do we say that the person fulfilled the basic Torah obligation of having children? And this was actually a big machlekes ha-tanoim in the sixth parak of Maseches Yevamos. The accepted halacha that we follow today is the view of Beis Hillel, as recorded in the Mishnah, that you need a zocher and a kid, you need a boy and a girl, in order to fulfill the mitzvah. There are different nuances and different tanoim of different opinions. Anywhere from across the board of one tana says one child is sufficient. One tana says the other extreme, you need two boys and two girls. In order to fulfill, they have a few sheikhs in between. But the accepted halacha is, when the Mishnah presented is the view of Beis Hillel, that you need a boy and a girl. So after that point, then the person becomes obligated in the midst of L'erev al-Tanach Yedecha. What is the purpose of L'erev al-Tanach Yedecha? Why is this halacha true? So the Gemara had a phrase, really quoting from the Pasuk, because Eincha Yodeh Eze Yichshel, because you don't know which is going to be good. What does that mean, you don't know which is going to be good? So Rashi comments on the Gemara's follows in a third of the Mamakamos. Rashi puts almost a little bit of a depressing spin on this mitzvah. Rashi says, Eze Yichshel, Rashi says that although min haTorah, you fulfill the mitzvah with one boy and one girl, it's a little bit risky because nobody knows. You don't know how the child's going to turn out. So since the child may not necessarily be such a zera hogun, may not be such a great person, may not be such a reishamayim, they might even survive miskayim. So therefore, it's so to speak worth it. It's a good investment. It's more than just a good investment. It's an obligation to ensure that a person has more children, to make sure, so to speak, that he fulfills the mitzvah kedasu chedid. So although Rashi does draw our attention to different things that can, in a sense, go wrong with the fulfillment of the mitzvah the first time around, the different things that Rashi quotes are not really on equal footing. If chalila the child doesn't survive, ino miskayin, then the Gemara quotes a machlokes about that the person actually fulfilled the mitzvah peruvu. Let's say a person has a boy and a girl, chalila, one of the children passes away, and the parent, the father, is still able to have more children. So we paskin l'alocha that he's b'chuyim in haTorah to continue to have more children. Because once the child passes away, so then the mitzvah peruvirivya is not fulfilled anymore. Unless that child in turn had children, that becomes a little more complicated. Possibly b'nei banim harem kibanim. So the existence of the children in the world is an integral part of the mitzvah of peruvu. It's for this reason that the Mechas Chinuch, the mitzvah Aleph, points out that the mitzvah of Puravu is very, very different from other mitzvahs in the Torah. Most mitzvahs in the Torah, you do the mitzvah, it's open, it's in your pocket, you're done. I shook a lulav, nothing could ever happen to take that mitzvah away from me. I heard the shofar, I'm done, finished. I was yet to the mitzvah can never be negated. I ate the matzah, it's over, the game's over. The mitzvah of Puravu is a mitzvah that's tluy of yamedes. It depends upon the existence, upon the survival of the children, in order for the person to fulfill the mitzvah of Puravu. That's what Mechas Chinuch claims, that the mitzvah of Puravu, there is no real ma'isa ha-mitzvah for Puravu. Ki a shofar has a ma'isa, Mechilas Matzah has a ma'isa, and Hanachas Tefillah has a ma'isa. The mitzvah of having children doesn't really have a ma'isa. Any ma'isa that's involved in having children is what the Mechas Chinuch calls, it's preparatory. It's a hechsher mitzvah. It's like the same way I have to bake the matzahs to have the matzah, but the mitzvah is the echilas matzah. I have to buy the shofar to have a shofar, but the mitzvah is the hearing of the shofar. Anything that I do to getting ready to have children, even up until, including the act of being together with one's wife, that's not a mitzvah per se. That's what the Mechas Chinuch uses the phrase. That's called the hechsher mitzvah. It's a preparation. It has to be done, but it's only because hechsher, it's not the mitzvah proper. There is no ma'isa mitzvah of Puruv Harivya. That's what Mechas Chinuch suggests. That's where we find the very strange halach about Puruvu. That the Gemara seems to say that a person can fulfill the mitzvah Puruv Harivya even though those children came around through an aveira. So a person is mezana with a woman, and creates nebuch, creates a mamzer. So the simple reading of the Gemara Yevamos says that one fulfills the mitzvah of Puruvu, even though the child is a mamzer. Isn't that a violation of mitzvah bo bi'aveira? If you steal a lulav, you're not yetzeh. So how can the person be yetzeh the mitzvah of Puruvu if he violated the yisra of Gilead Arayas? And the Chinuch said The question doesn't even get off the ground, because the nature of the mitzvah of having children is not a maisa. Mitzvah of avera disqualifies a maisa mitzvah. If you did an action that itself is an avera, that action cannot double as a mitzvah. When it comes to Pervivia, I couldn't care less how the child came into an existence. At the end of the day, Reuben has a child. It's his child. It's a mom, it's a mom, but it's Reuben's child. So that would count for the mitzvah Pervivia. So a koponim in Rashi here tells you all the different terrible things that can go wrong with the mitzvah Pervivu, why the halacha requires la'er b'tanach yedecha. So the Rashi makes reference to miskayim, the child may not survive. Rashi also makes reference to the fact that the child may not be a great Yirei Shemayim. Asman. So the child's not such a Yirei Shemayim. He's still Yotzei Pervivu. So clearly Rashi doesn't mean to say, person has a child, and the child's not such a great Yirei Shemayim, so you lose the mitzvah. That's absurd. Some what Rashi means is that our goal in this world is not just to biologically bring children to the world. We want to bring Yirei Shemayim to the world. We want to bring Tevrei Chacham to the world. We want to bring Ovdei Hashem to the world. So since the whole goal of having children is not just to bring biological children, so it would be kedai to try to have more. Because we only have the bare bone minimum the Torah requires. You don't know which child is going to be Yirei Shemayim. It's going to be a whole group. We don't know what's going to happen. So here Rashi, although he combines together the Eino Kayomo with the Eino Yirei Shemayim, it doesn't really mean the same thing. One would be an absolute lack of fulfillment of the Pervivia, whereas the other would be kind of you just missed the boat of Pervivia. You didn't get to the real goal of the Pervivia is, but nobody would say that the child isn't so firm that you lose out the mitzvah Pervivia.
Didn't this kind of really say anything? At some point, those children, they die just like everybody else. People were, so as long as they've had children themselves.
Right. So that's the thing. Halach is that if Reuben has a child, and then that child in turn has children, so even if the child passes away, Reuben can still fulfill his mitzvah through the B'nai Banim of the
maybe child. He has all his children. Right.
So,
in his lifetime,
there's no living progeny. Right. That
still
was
it's still the same thing.
No, but well, if at the end of the day, there's not nobody left from his...
He has descendants.
Then he's going to. Right. So, so there is a way to theoretically lose the mitzvah pervivia, whereas the child becoming not from is not going to undermine the mitzvah pervivia.
The previous year that we had, this should have been a field from the grandparent to the grandson. If the relationship between pervivia is based on the existence of so that should create that field like of the bay.
Right, so there may be. So remember, we mentioned this a few months ago. There was actually a big question in the Gemara itself: is there really a chiyuv gomor to teach one's grandchildren? And the Rambam possibly said yes. And remember, at the time we said that chiyuv gomor cannot cost money, because the poskim say if I'm really mechuyuv to teach my child Torah, then I have to pay for it. If I'm really mechuyuv to teach my grandchild Torah, then I have to pay for that as well.
So this this halacha should be machayev to grandpa.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Maybe related. Right. It may be part of the same picture. Yeah. It's going to become an expensive halacha. But I call upon him, the thrust of this mitzvah, we call it Erev Tamach Yedecha, is almost like the safeguard of the mitzvah peruvim. It's almost like an insurance policy, so to speak, for the original mitzvah peruvim. If you take a look at the Rambam in the fourth of the Rambam Karmas, the Rambam gives an entirely different spin on this mitzvah. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Ishos Perktes Vavloch Etezayin, the fourth of the Rambam comes, Afal Pisha Kim Ad the Mitzvah Pervarivya, even though a person has fulfilled Pervarivya, Arei Mitzuva Midivrei Seifrim, he is still obligated Midivrei Seifrim, we're going to define that in a moment, Shelo Yevata Melifros Melifos, he should not stop having more children, Kozban Sheyesh B'Koyach, assuming that he has the strength to do so. Why is that? So whereas Rashi said, because you never know what's going to happen with the first children, the Rambam doesn't say that at all. The Rambam puts a lot more positive spin on it. The Rambam says, "Shkala meisif nefesh achas b'Yisrael ki'inu bala oyvam." He says, just having an extra child is like a whole new world. Every single Jewish soul is another world. So therefore, the more the merrier, the more the greater it is. So unlike Rashi was saying that really be karon, two is enough, it's just you don't know what's going to happen from the two, so therefore have a few more. According to the Rambam, no. Two is good, and three is good, and four is good, and five is good, and more, and more, and more. She called him Moshe Nevishach and swapped the bottom Ma'olam Molek. And then the Rambam continues, V'chem mitzvah chacham hu shelo yeshiv adam v'lo isha shelo yavo li dehiru v'lo teishu isha v'lo ish v'lo techoshek. Then the Rambam adds on, according to the Gemara of Maseches Yevamos, even in a situation where a person will not be able to have any more children. He knows already, he's past the point, he's not going to have any more children. So he shouldn't take the attitude that he shouldn't get married. One should not think that the getting married later in life is only for having children. It's just not a good thing. And for a woman also, it's not a good idea. It's not good for her, Yir Shemayim, that she should be not married as well. So therefore, in addition to the mitzvah, Erevot HaNechadecha, there's also the consideration that, if at all possible, so the people should try to get married even at a later point in life. So a couple of when the Rambam told us that the nature of the mitzvah is the host of Nefesh Yisrael, the Rambam told us something else as well. The Rambam added in two words, Midivrei Sofim. Where does this mitzvah come from? It's a mitzvah Midivrei Sofim. Midivrei Sofim is a loaded, loaded term in halacha, because we're all familiar with the concept of mitzvahs deraisa, and then there are dinim midirabanan, and then every once in a while you have this middle ground called Divrei Sofim. So the Rambam himself, in Sefer Mitzvahs, tells us that the word Divrei Sofim really has multiple layers of meaning. Sometimes the word Divrei Sofim refers to regular derabanan, Sofim. Sofim means the chachamim. So Divrei Sofim could mean a mitzvah derabanan, just a plain simple mitzvah derabanan. Sometimes the Rambam uses the term Divrei Sofim as referring to what we would call dinim deraisa, but the dinim deraisa that we needed the chachamim to derive. That means it wasn't so clear this is the din. The chacham had to have a kavachimah, they had a drasha, a hekesh, and they had to figure out how do we know the following din to be true. So that's called divrei sofim, also according to the Rambam. So here, when the Rambam invokes that phrase, there is a mitzvah mit divrei sofim. So what kind of a mitzvah is he referring to? Most probably not a deraisa. There is no pasuk chumash for this. The poskim keheles, first of all, it's not a poskim chumash, it's a remez at best. So the Rambam seems to be calling this mitzvah, Erevot HaNechadecha, really a mitzvah midirabbanan. So midaraisa, the mitzvah peruvu, is fulfilled with whatever you think the bare bone minimum is. One opinion one, one opinion two, one opinion four, whatever you think the number is, we poskim shulchan aruch, a boy and a girl. That's the kavanas atar peruvu. Now you have more and more and more children. It's a great and a wonderful thing, not just because you want to make sure that some of the children, you know, will survive both physically and spiritually, but according to the Rambam, it's intrinsically good and intrinsically important to have more children. But that mitzvah is only midrabanan. That's the simple reading of the Rambam. So this is in contrast to some other Rishonim who seem to say that la'erva parach edecha is actually a mitzvah midaraisa. Who says this? In what context do we say that this is a mitzvah in HaTorah? So the background for this is a sugya that appears in a few places in Shas, one of them being in the beginning of Maseches Yevamos. In the fifth of the Ramakamos, the Gemara discusses the sugya of what's called Nashim, Gil Nashim Shamshos B'moch. It talks about when a woman is having relations, she's having relations using a moch. A moch literally is like a ram, a shmata. She's using this ram, this moch, as some form of birth control. So it's unclear exactly what is she doing with this moch. Is she putting the smoke in before Tashmish to prevent the Zera from potentially penetrating? Is she putting it in right after Tashmish to remove the Zera so to prevent it from potentially making her pregnant? So that's a big, big question. What, when, who exactly? And there's some very, very important aspects of the modern day applications that emanate from how do you learn Pshat into Sugya. But this is the Sugya of Mesham Shos Pamoch. So Rabbeinu Tam has the following comment about the Sugya of Mesham Shos Pamoch. Rabbeinu Tam Omer, in the fifth of the Ramah Kavos, the lifnei tashmish vade also litin sham moch. Says Rabbeinu Tam, nobody would ever permit a woman to put a moch in that area before she has relations with her husband. Why is that? What's wrong with putting the moch in beforehand? The aim derech tashmish pekach bereil kamatul zera ala eitzav yala avonim kishematul hamoch. Says Rabbeinu Tam, that's an outright violation of atzor zera levatola. That the only time that the man is permitted to be motzi zera is if he's motzi zera directly into his wife's body. If the zera goes anywhere else, whether it goes literally outside on Eitzim V'Avonim, or even if it goes theoretically inside, but practically it's not inside because there's something blocking, there's a barrier method there that's preventing the zera from getting in. So then Tam says that's out of the question. Nobody would ever be mouth to such a thing. And one could already begin to realize that this is going to have some serious, serious ramifications of halacha for us. So says Rabbeinu Tam, so what is the Gemara talking about? If the Gemara talks about the possibility of using a moch, what could that possibly mean? If it doesn't mean before, what does it mean? So says Rabbeinu Tam, it means afterwards. I mean, tashmish was done normally, was done regularly. Says Rabbeinu Tam, what could be wrong? What could be usur about inserting a moch afterwards to clean away, to move out, to take out the zera? Why? Says Rabbeinu Tam for the following cheshbon. The high gavra ki orchim mishamish says Rabbeinu Tam, From the man's vantage point, what is he doing wrong? He's being together with his wife. So, but at the time when he's being together with his wife, the zera is going into her body. What could possibly be also? What are you afraid of? Because she's not going to become pregnant. There is no isser to have relations with your wife, even though you know she's not going to become pregnant. If the woman is past the point of having children, she's muteris. If the woman is already pregnant, she's muteris. So nobody ever said such a thing. You're only allowed to have tashkish when it's going to result in pregnancy. That's ridiculous. So says Rabbi Nadam, as long as the man is having normal maisa tashkish, that's perfectly okay. So what are we afraid of? We're afraid of, at the end of the third line, that isha should have sent us a chagach moch. Maybe when she puts in that moch and she removes, she cleans out the zera, so maybe she's violating an aveira of mashcha zera. She's destroying zera. Says Rabbi Nadam, no. Lo huzeru hashchos zera, kevavu mifkada perivur of ya. Rabbi Nadam came up with a chiddush gadol min haTorah. He says this iser, this mitzvah deraisa called to the mashcha zera. This is derived from the psukim in Parshas Vayeshev about the mice of the erva onan. Rabbi Nadam is a chiddush gadol. Rabbi Nadam says this iser to destroy zera only applies to men, doesn't apply to women. Because this issue of destroying Zera is like a subcategory, it's like a bittul of Pirvarivya. It's like the ultimate, it's like the antithesis of Pirvarivya. Here you're taking the Zera that's supposed to be used for Pirvarivya and Mamash destroying it. So that issue only applies to somebody who's chayav in the midst of Pirvarivya. Women are not chayav also in the midst of Pirvarivya. We spoke about this earlier in the year, the Gemara of Sukkim. The women are exempt from the midst of Pirvarivya. And therefore, there's no issue of Ashkos Zera from the woman's vantage point. So Ben Tam made a whole Mashtikotar out of this story. Ben Tam said, when the Gemara is discussing the possibility, the permissibility of being mishamish b'moch, it can't be before tashmish. That's absurd, because then the man is being mashcha zera. By him doing a bia in a way that's not going to his wife's body, that's a hashchas zera from his vantage point. The only thing the Gemara could possibly be talking about is the woman doing an act of quote-unquote hashchas zera. There's nothing wrong with that, because she's not chayavis in hashchas zera anyway. This is the famous view of Rabbeinu Tam. So unfortunately, got chopped off the Marmakomos. It's supposed to be the next Marmakom, but it's hard for the person to find. Is the Tosfos HaRosh? The Tosfos HaRosh is printed in Maseches Nida on the side of the Gemara, and this Tosfos HaRosh appears with the following Ha'ara. The Tosfos HaRosh says, "Well, wait a second. If Rabbeinu Tam is right that the Isser of Hotzah Zera Latolash Chosah Zera is a function of the mitzvah Kurubu." If you're a man and you're chayav in Puravu, then you're chayav in Otzah Zera. If you're a woman exempt from Puravu, then you're exempt from Otzah Zera. We should have an unbelievable kula, says the Tosfos HaRosh. If you already have children, you should be potter from the Yisr of Otzah Zera. You're like a woman. The same way that a woman is not chayavis in Puravu, she's allowed to be mashma Zera. If you're a man who's not chayav in Puravu, because you already have two children, you already have a boy and a girl, all these surah of Otzah Zera and Matal should be over. All birth control, everything should be mutter, much everything, hit the government. And it's ridiculous. As we were talking, it's the law you're talking, nobody would ever say such a crazy thing. So what's the answer according to Rabbeinu Tam? What is the difference according to Rabbeinu Tam between a woman who is exempt from Puravu, therefore exempt from the Yitzhak Otzah Zer Levatala, in contrast to a man? So as the Rosh said, the answer is very simple. A man is never potter from Puravu. He's still chai from Puravu. I in the Gemara and Yavam, stuff some of these. I in the Lagba in the Gemara. He's mechuyif to have more children. So he's not really potter from Puravu. That means he was yaitz to the bare bone minimum, but he's still chai of the oime to fulfill the mitzvah of Puravu for the rest of his life. He's chai from Puravu, i.e. the mitzvah. Therefore, he is obligated in Otzah Zera. It is clear that the itzur of Otzah Zera that the Tosfos HaRosh is referring to is a deraisa. Obviously, this is the nisah gomer min haTorah, and the Tosfos HaRosh is invoking that imagery and saying, because you're chayiv in la'erev al-tanech yedecha, therefore you're a bar chiyuv in Puravu, therefore you're a bar chiyuv on the itzav al-tzah zera al-vatolah. So he says, if you hold, like the Rambam, that the din of la'erev al-tanech yedecha is only derabbanon, how does a mitzvah derabbanon create a bar chiyuv in midaraisa? How does that obligate you in al-tzah zera al-vatolah on the level of deraisa? So what is Pshat the Tosfos HaRosh? So clearly Tosfos HaRosh means is as follows, that the mitzvah Puravu, like many other mitzvah Torah, have two parts to them. There's the mitzvah chiyuvis and the mitzvah kiyumis. We've talked about this many times. Say the Moshe Achilas matzah. So you're mechuyev min haTorah to eat a kezayis matzah in the Leil HaSeder. If you eat more matzah in the Leil HaSeder, so the Rambam seems to say, you're not chayev, but the more you eat, the greater kima mitzvah there is. According to the Gra, the more you eat the whole week of Pesach, the greater the mitzvah there is. Let's say the Prima Gadim writes in the Chos Tefillin, Everyone's mechuyev midaraisa to put on tefillin for 1 second a day. You're not mechuyev to keep your tefillin on for longer. But the longer that you keep them on, that's a greater fulfillment of the mitzvah of Okshatim Yosei Yadecha. There are some who want to argue that the mitzvah of the tefillin, Lulav is like that also. I mean, Torah, the mitzvah chiyuv esiv, it's agbe nafim, but you pick it up for a second. But the Gemara says in Sukkah that the Anshim Shalim used to walk around town carrying the Lulav and Esrim. Why would they carry the Lulav and Esrim? They already finished the mitzvah an hour ago. The answer is, it's more of a lekicha. Well, the more you do, the greater that you continue doing the ma'aseh mitzvah, more and more, that's considered to be a mitzvah kiyumis. So that seems to be what the Tazar Rosh is saying here as well. That the bare bone mitzvah of having children is a boy and a girl. The more you have, it's not a mitzvah chiyuvis, it's a mitzvah kiyumis, but that's relevant min haTorah. It's so relevant min haTorah that labels you as still a bar thereby mitzvah of Purim Rav Yeh, which enables us to say that therefore you're not allowed to be mashal zera. So the man, after he has children, is not the same as the woman. The woman was never chayev, it's not the chayev, it's the chlal in the mitzvah of Purim Rav Yeh. So she's permitted to be mashal zera according to Rabbeinu Tam. The man, even post having a born a girl, is still called the bar chiyuva, not a bar chiyuva, but at least the bar kiyuma of the mitzvah of Purim Rav Yeh. Sorry, Adam.
Does it not mean in the bracha, between stone and the...
Right. You could still write. Lulav, that's a portion that you can. There's a Tosis about that. Right. Tosis claims you could still make a bracha on the Lulav as long as you didn't finish halal yet. After halal, Tosis sounds like it's over. Whereas, according to what I'm saying, maybe you could even kvetch it even past that point. Right, maybe.
So, raising children, making sure they remain alive, amidst a humans as well.
The raising of the children, I mean, as the Rashi said, that if you have a child, the child's actually hugging the Shemayim, so you're going to be losing the whole thrust of mitzvah. Right. We spoke about this earlier, that's the reason why the Echorim write, why is it that a person is not chayim pre-vivir when he turns by mitzvah? Turns by mitzvah, chayim all mitzvahs. So why does he wait a few years to have children? Why did Chazal say, at least finish one of the chuppah? So the beginning of Evan Ezer, the post can explain that if the mitzvah pre-vivir would have been just simply to biologically have children, at the age of 13, you should have children right away. The mitzvah is more than that. The mitzvah is to bring children into the world and raise them and to have Yirei Shemayim. So you're not going to do a very good job at the age of 13. You don't know how to open up a Gemara yourself, so you got to learn a little bit to figure out how to become Yirei Shemayim yourself, and then you'll be able to have a fighting chance to try to impart that to your children. So this mitzvah of La'erva Tanach Yedecha, whether it's a mitzvah de Rabbanon, like the Rambam seems to say, or whether it's a Kiyah mitzvah de Raisa, like the Rosh says, whether the goal of this mitzvah is to have extra children to ensure that the first someone is going to be a good along the way, or like the Rambam, just intrinsically it's good to have more children. At the end of the day, we pass the law of this mitzvah. Is there any practical difference in the fulfillment of this in contrast to the Torah obligation, the basic bare bone mitzvah of Puruvu? So the Rambam, in the sixth of the Marmakomos, in fact, his Vavnechus Ishos, presents the following. What if a woman agrees to a husband after they're married and he doesn't have to be together with her all the time? She gives him permission to go off and learn. Rabbi Akiva and Yom, they'll go learn for 12 years. She agrees. She's okay with that. I raise him with her. She agreed. When can we say that a woman can agree and give her husband without having to be with her? That's assuming that he has children already. They fulfilled the mitzvah of Rivia. Aval in low kiyem, if he didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Rivia, he can't go on a 12-year shpatzir to go sit in yeshiva. It's mechuyim in haTorah, the mitzvah of Rivia. And low kiyem chayav ruva b'chol ona, so she can't be forego that mitzvah. He's required to be with her whenever he can. Achiyu lo banan, they should mitzvah se shotayra, shenemar, pruvu. So the Rambam clearly is highlighting a difference between a person who has no children and a person who already fulfilled pruvu while you're born a girl. And the Rambam is permitting you, after you have a boy and a girl, to basically go away. Again, assuming you have an obligation, you have a Torah of Ona. So the woman is mochelas on that, that's one thing. But even if the woman's mochelas, she cannot be mochelas on the mitzvah of Purim. So the Achron bothered with the question, but isn't there a mitzvah of La'erva Tanach Yedecha? The same way that the woman doesn't have a right to tell you to forego your mitzvah of Purim Rivia, does she have a right to tell you to forego the mitzvah of Tanach Yedecha? What happened to that mitzvah? So the same way that the Rambam comes down hard and says, you can't just leave town until you fulfill your obligation. Why is this mitzvah midibrei seifrim, the mitzvah of Tanach Yedecha? Why is that also not subject to the inability of the woman to in a sense, permit you to forego that mitzvah? So in the beginning of Evan Ezra, some of the Achmarim, the Yosef, suggests that maybe what the Rambam is telling us is as follows. that there's something fundamentally different between these two kinds of obligations, the obligation of Perivia and the obligation of Anavat Tanach Yodecha. That even in the words of the Pasuk itself, Anavat Tanach Yodecha, what that means is a person is not allowed to reach a stage in life where he says, I'm done, we're closing up shop, no more children. We're ready, finished, we have a boy and a girl, we're done, finished. But Anavat Tanach Yodecha, that's not permitted by the halacha. For whatever reason, the Raisa, the Rabbanim that we spoke before. But that does not mean that therefore a person has to have a never ending, has to never stop in terms of having children all the time. It's not the mitzvah of a tarach adecha. The mitzvah of a tarach adecha means is that not to be meniach. You're not allowed to stop. You're not allowed to call in a day, call in a life, and say that's it. Ad kai v'lo yosef. Unless there's some pressing reason. The Rambam before gave the reason of koach. Poskim say if there are health issues, hey mitam the man, hey mitam the woman. So those are reasons that would justify the cessation of the mitzvah of Tanach Yodecha. But if there's no reason, at least no halachically acceptable, defendable reason, so then the mitzvah of Tanach Yodecha means you're not allowed to close up shop. However, what it does not mean is that you're not permitted to delay. So if a person takes the attitude concerning the mitzvah of Tanach Yodecha, I'm not stopping, we're going to have more children in a year from now. We're going to have more children 6 years from now, I'm going to come back from yeshiva. So first I'm going to learn for a couple of years, I'll be back a few years later. That's not a violation of whatever tarach adech, because the person has not been menich, he hasn't stopped yet. That is unlike the mitzvah peribarivya. Peribarivya, the person is mechuy, the person gets mad. The mechuy menatay, peribarivya. Sometimes when young couples, when I finally get married, come to talk to me about issues related to the sugya, so I usually point out the following to them. I say, you know, if a Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't think peribarivya was such an important mitzvah, he would have stuck it, you know, around mitzvah 497 or something, tucked away in the middle of Sefer Yikur, no one knew where it would be. But it's the front and center. It's the first one. You can't miss it. Even people will never make it to mitzvah beis and say for chinuch. At least they're the first one. So I said, it's not tucked away anywhere in Ebenezer. It's Simon Aleph in Ebenezer. So there's a reason for it. So the mitzvah peruvu, you can't dilly down. You can't dray around mitzvah peruvu. Because Baruch gives you a mitzvah. No, I'm not going to do it now. I'll pick it up in 6 months from now. So you're not allowed to do that unless there's a very real justified halachic reason to delay mitzvahs. Okay, so those are sugyas. There are sugyas about that, when you are and when you're not allowed to delay doing mitzvahs. But the attitude towards peruvu is, I'm a chuyah and I tell you to do the mitzvah. So as the mitzvah right away. Where therefore the Rambam writes that the wife does not have a right to tell the husband, go sit and learn for 6 years and come back and do the mitzvah 6 years later. You're not allowed to do that when it comes to mitzvahs. It comes to Erev HaTarach Adecha because of the nature of the mitzvah is so radically different than the mitzvah of Peribarivya, that the nature of the mitzvah is not to give up and close up shop entirely. So therefore, one has that certainly. This, of course, has serious impact in terms of Shad HaLach L'maisa. Any time that there's a question, a lot of question of birth control, there are always multiple questions you have to ask. You have to first of all ask, is this particular method of birth control permissible? We already mentioned that there may be issues about Zara with certain kinds of birth control. So that's one whole area of halacha. And then there's a second area of halacha concerning birth control. Even a niach that this particular method is permissible, who says it's permissible for you? Who says that you're allowed to do it? Aren't you supposed to be having children? So then you have to pass in the peru shalas, you have to pass in the tarich adecha shalas. It's a whole different area of halacha. So if the answer to both of those questions is mutter, then the psach is mutter. If the answer to either one of those two questions is not mutter, then the psach shouldn't be a mutter either. So here, if we're going with this almost like revamped version of whatever tarich adecha is that it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have children right away. And then if it's yotzi peru, as long as I'm planning realistically and having more, so that's not a violation of Erev Tanach Yodecha. One, of course, has to be honest to Kodesh Baruch Hu, to oneself with this. The person's going to take the attitude, he's 45, his wife's 40, they say, no, we're not closing up shop, we're just going on temporary birth control for the next 30 years. So that's obviously not an honest appraisal of the situation. So the person, again, is still chayav in the mitzvah. If things happen, health reasons, other reasons that are justifiable to in a sense, put an end to this mitzvah. It's a different sugya. But assuming that the man is still obligated in the mitzvah of Tanach Yodecha, so then he may have a little bit more leeway than he has vis-a-vis Peru, but the mitzvah still will tell us a lot, whether they're Isa, whether they're Rabbanan, whether it's Rashi's version, Rambam's version. So a whole part of this sugya of having children and having tabidim, so this again starts out as the Rabbi Akiva sugya, so Rav Omer sugya, a little bit of the Gala Maisa, in terms of the Yom, and again, it's something that speaks to us throughout our lives as well. Okay.
Yeah. Right.